We are now moving into our D tier of teams. So there was a little bit of discussion about who is going to lead off this D tier. And Greg is super low on this team. Isaac is quite low on this team. I'm a little bit higher on this team, but maybe for the wrong reasons. So that team is the San Francisco Giants. Isaac, why don't you start off by telling us why you think that they are kind of, you know, the worst of the D tier.
Now, have you switched your jerseys? Because I thought you said you have a team for every single one.
I haven't.
Into that
I'll
right
do
now.
It right now. It's the jerseys so, on underneath.
I said this earlier. The Giants have been overachievers for the past few years. And they struck out on getting a couple key acquisitions. They haven't gotten them. There's nothing that just blows me away on this team. And it's kind of... This is not a better roster than they were 2 years ago. They're over-under set pretty high. They're in a very contested division. Arizona's looking a lot better. San Diego and the Dodgers are both amazing teams. The Giants, this luck has to run out at some point, and a lot of the teams in this tier are going up. They're trending up. This team doesn't look like it's rebuilding. This team doesn't look like it's adding key pieces. They're just stuck. They're aging and they're stuck, and they're not doing anything to move past this. I don't know if they need to rebuild. They're not a playoff contender right now. I just feel like this team has a lot of downside, and they could maybe sneak their way into a wild card position, but they're not going to go anywhere, in my opinion. And I could be completely wrong just based on their overachieving. But at this point in time, I think they're just the one team that is like stagnant. They're not moving at all. Mm-hmm. And they're boring as hell. They have a nice stadium. That's all I can say positive. And Barry Bonds.
Okay. Well, my reasoning for them being a little bit higher is that for the last two seasons, I've counted them out and predicted their downfall. And then they've just been better than what I predicted the last two seasons. I'm kind of sick of getting burned, but I also agree that, like, I just still don't think that this is that great of a team. And so for that reason, they are in our D tier. And basically, we've got, in the rotation, we've got Logan Webb. We have Alex Cobb, Desclafani. They signed Ross Stripling this year, so he is now a member of the team. He had a good year last year for the Blue Jays. Then they have Sean Manaea, Alex Wood. In the bullpen, they've got Camilo Doval, who I like. I think he's really good. They have both of the Rogers brothers. They have Taylor and Tyler Rogers. And Jacob Junis, who has been decent for them as well. That's kind of like the strength of this team, I would say, is the pitching. Even though the rotation isn't like super deep, they do have a pretty solid bullpen. And then on the position front, they have some guys that are kind of like can do some things, I guess. You got Bart as your catcher. First base, you got Wilmer Flores and Lamonte Wade. Second base, you have Tyro Estrada. Shortstop, you got Brandon Crawford, who has kind of fluctuated from year to year as to what you're going to get offensively. You know you're going to get good defense. JD Davis at third base. Michael Conforto, a big offseason acquisition that they got. Yastrzemski, Jock Peterson, and then a DH/outfield still. You have Mitch Haniger, who is another acquisition for them. The over-under this year is set at 81.5 wins. Last year, it was 81. So they're basically predicting that they're going to be about the same. I think that I am going to take the over. I think that they're maybe going to win 82 games. I don't know if they're going to... I think that they're like a 500 team. So that basically means that they would have 81 wins. So it's difficult to predict, but I'm going to say the over, but literally slightly over. Like, I think they have a higher floor and a lower ceiling this year. So I'll take the over, say like 82, 83 wins. Unfortunately, Isaac, his internet keeps crashing, so we've lost him for this episode. That's fine. I'll keep doing it solo. I'll get him to mail in his over-under takes, and then I will add those after. But I am going to take the over for the San Francisco Giants. Also, upon further discussion, Isaac and I have agreed on all of the teams that we have in this D tier. So this is a consensus D tier. And next up, I guess we can talk about the Chicago Cubs. And let's start out with the rotation. We have, let's see here. We got Marcus Stroman, we got Kyle Hendricks, Drew Smyly, Jameson Taillon, and Justin Steele. I think that that's actually kind of a sneaky, decent rotation, if I'm being honest. Justin Steele had a good year last year. I think that he's going to take another step forward as a young pitcher. Stroman is just kind of like, he's been good. I think he'll probably be good again. Kyle Hendricks might take a bit of a step backwards this year. And then Drew Smyly, it's basically just like a decent rotation. Like, all of these pitchers, decent. That's basically all there is to it. Bullpen, you got Rowe and Wick. You got Julian Merriweather. And you got Michael Fulmer. And that's about it. The bullpen is a little thin. From an offensive perspective / defensive perspective, I kind of like what they're at. I think they got a pretty decent lineup here. You got Yan Gomes and Tucker Barnhart as your catchers. Don't hate that as a tandem. First base, you got Eric Hosmer, and Trey Mancini. Eric Hosmer has kind of just become just a placeholder, I would say, in the MLB. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect big things from him. Trey Mancini, obviously, everyone's always cheering for him, but he did take a step back last year, and it'll be interesting to see if he can take a step back to his where he was as a Chicago Cub. Then you got Nico Hoerner and Nick Madrigal at second base. Third base, you got Patrick Wisdom, and Dansby, you know, the big offseason acquisition for them. Dansby Swanson coming to Chicago. I like him. I think he's a good pickup. I think he fits this team and this mold really well. Improves their defense substantially. So I like the Dansby Swanson ad. And then you move to the outfield, and they've got Ian Happ, who has been a steady contributor for them over the years. You got Cody Bellinger, who, I mean, people just keep taking risks on him, keep thinking that he's going to get back to that MVP level. He hasn't yet. I really don't have any reason to believe that he's, just because he's on a new team, that this year he will get back to that version of Cody Bellinger. But, I mean, he gives you at least good defense. And then you got Seiya Suzuki, who had a pretty decent year last year. Probably underperformed his expectations, I would say. But, you know, first year in the major leagues coming from Japan, bit of a culture shock, big change in terms of, you know, talent, the way the game is played. So big adjustment period. I think he handled himself adequately, I would say. And then designated hitter, you got Christopher Morel. The over-under is set at 76.5. Last year, they won 74 games. I am going to take the over. I think that they can... I think that they can maybe get to 500 this year. I think that I don't think that's a stretch at all for them. And that's kind of where I see them. I think 76.5 is truthfully a little bit low. I feel like the Vegas Insider has done a really good job at setting the over-unders. And this one just seems a little bit low to me. I think that they can, I would say their floor is kind of like 80 wins for me. So I like this Cubs team. And I am going to take the over. Let's see what Isaac texted me to say about the Cubs. He said he will take the over as well. So Isaac is also a little more optimistic about this team. All right, next up, we've got the Texas Rangers. So obviously this is a team that has spent a shit ton of money. They have spent a lot of money over the last couple of years. Obviously $500 million on Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. That's a big time commitment. Neither of those guys really moved the needle for them that much last year. Again, adjustment period. Marcus Semien had a really terrible start for them, but then settled in nicely. So I'd love to see him get back. He's a great dude, a really good ball player. And I hope that he does better this year. And Corey Seager, I hope you don't get injured again this year, because I think that was kind of his issue last year, if I'm not mistaken. Rotation has been seriously upgraded. They got Jacob deGrom in the offseason. That's huge. That's huge. He is the most talented pitcher in baseball, I would say. When he's playing, he's the most dominant pitcher in baseball, I think. Sandy Alcantara maybe has something to say about that. But, I mean, Jacob deGrom, everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows what he's capable of. The health is obviously the biggest issue for him. It's hard to ever really bank on him getting more than half a season under his belt, which is really sad and disappointing to say, but is honestly just kind of the reality. But we'll see what he can do for them. It's a new look for him. I kind of like it, honestly. I think that he fits the Texas vibe correctly. They also acquired Andrew Heaney, who was really good for the Dodgers last year, which surprised me big time because I was extremely low on Andrew Heaney. And I mean, I'm still not banking on him this year, to be completely honest. I think the Dodgers are always able to just, for some reason, make pitchers better. I don't know what my expectations are for him. But still an upgrade over some of the other guys that were, you know, getting innings for them last year. Then you got John Gray, who has been pretty solid. Martin Perez, who had a good year last year. And then they also signed another free agent pitcher, Nate Eovaldi, who was probably the best pitcher for the Red Sox last year. So don't sleep on that ad either. This is actually a sneaky good rotation. Not even sneaky good. I mean, you got Jacob deGrom as your ace. That's not that sneaky. But the guys behind him are also very solid. So I like their rotation. In the bullpen, it's a little bit thin, but you have Ian Kennedy, you got Barlow, and you have Jose Leclerc. So three big arms in there, and then we'll see. You know, bullpen is always something you never really know what you're going to get. There's a lot of fluctuation from year to year. And, you know, if their team's competitive, maybe they will go out and acquire a couple more bullpen arms. On the position player side, they got Mitch Garver, who they acquired from the Twins, I think, sometime last season, if I'm not mistaken. Nathaniel Lowe, had a great season last year for them. He was probably the most underrated first baseman. Well, I said Christian Walker was the most underrated in our last episode, so I guess I shouldn't really say that he's the most underrated, but he's one of the most underrated first basemen, underappreciated around the league. And he's going to be at first base for them. Again, he spent $500 million on this middle infield. We know Marcus Semien, Corey Seager. Third base, you got Josh Jung, who is a top prospect for them and looking to solidify himself as a solid big league player this year. We'll see what he can do. In the outfield, we got Adolis Garcia, Yoshi Tsutsugo, and Leody Taveras. So the outfield is a little bit thin, I would say. Obviously, Adolis Garcia is a solid big league player, but then, Taveras still has yet to establish himself. Yoshi Tsutsugo has not been that good, if we're being fair. And then you got Brad Miller as your DH, who is the most unpredictable player ever. He is either fantastic or completely horrible. You just really never know what you're going to get with him. Oh my God, the over-under is set at 81.5 games. 81.5 wins, sorry. Last year, they only won 68 games. I'm a little surprised that the over-under is actually at 81.5, but I guess with all of the big offseason acquisitions that they made and, you know, kind of the underperformance of their big guys, they have some people that have taken a step forward. Damn, that's tricky. I'm going to take the under, I think, I think to go from 68 wins to 81 and a half, so basically 82 wins, is just too much of a leap for me. I don't think I'm willing to make that step yet, but I do think that they flirt with 500, and I think that they have the upside to be even better than that, but I'm just not confident in it, so I'm going to take the under, and Isaac is taking the over, so I guess he is more optimistic than I am. Yeah, that's where we're at. All right, two more teams in this D tier. They are, oh boy, the Anaheim Angels in the D tier. And you have to realize now that we are into, you know, top 20 teams. So I would say that from kind of teams like 13 through 20, to me, it's kind of interchangeable. Like any of these teams are, they're kind of all similar in that they have high ceiling, low floor. So you just, it's hard to know who is going to underperform or overperform or just perform to their expectations. So anyways, the next team that we got on the list though is the Anaheim Angels. And obviously they have some star power, but to me, the thing that's holding them back is the Angels. I don't know how to explain it in any other way other than every single year, people seem to rank these Angels as a competitor, you know, a contender, someone that's actually probably going to make the playoffs. And then they don't. They just don't. They just fall short. You have guys like Anthony Rendon that were stars in the past that are just absolute ghosts when they get to the Angels. You got Mike Trout missing time. You've got Shohei Ohtani in the past missing time. Obviously, the last two seasons, he's been the only guy on their team, really, that completely carries them. Obviously, Trout, when he's in the lineup, also helps big time. He's one of the best players in baseball, undeniably, but he has dealt with his fair share of injuries. So anyways, that leaves our rotation basically looking like Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Anderson, who is a free agent acquisition. Then you got Patrick Sandoval, who's an underrated starter. You got Suarez. I think that's Jose Suarez, not Ranger Suarez. Tucker Davidson was an acquisition this year, I believe. He was formerly with the Atlanta Braves. And then you got Reed Detmers. So you kind of, last year they went with a six-man rotation. They might do it again. I hope they don't. But they have basically six decent starters. Obviously, Shohei is better than decent. In the bullpen, you got Ryan Tepera, Tommy Hergett, Aaron Loop. They've lost Raisel Iglesias. So that's not great for them. And then honestly, outside of those three guys that I just mentioned, there's not really anyone in there that I like. Obviously, there's guys that can always take a step forward, and we'll see. I'm sure that's what they're banking on. The lineup is not that much different than last year. They did make a couple other adds. Max Stassi's still their catcher. Jared Walsh still their first baseman. But then at second base now, you've got, and slash just utility guy, you got Brandon Drury, who had a breakout season last year. I mean, given his track record, I don't know that I expect him to reach that level again. But, you know, it's worth a shot, I guess. Luis Renjifo was a guy that was there last year. David Fletcher is their shortstop. I don't like their defense. I think that middle infield is not very strong. And I think you need to be strong up the middle. They went out and got Gio Urshela, which is kind of interesting because they still have Anthony Rendon. But, I mean, I guess they're adding to their depth this year, which is good. And then, like I mentioned, Anthony Rendon's still there. The outfield, you got Mike Trout. Everyone knows about him. No introduction needed, no backstory needed. It's Mike Trout. Then you got Taylor Ward, who had a good season last year. Again, not sure that I trust that he can do it again. Then they signed Hunter Renfro. That's a good add. Good defender. Really strong arm. Adequate hitter. And then Joe Adell, a guy who keeps not living up to the hype. Maybe he takes a step forward. You never know. DH is Shohei Ohtani. obviously, because the guy fucking pitches and slugs. He's a freak. Last year, the Anaheim Angels, I mean, they're the Los Angeles Angels, but everyone knows. They play in Anaheim. They're the Anaheim Angels. Last year, they won 73 games. This year, the over-under is set at 81.5. I'm going to take the under. I don't think that they're good. I think that the guys that they signed are have too many question marks. I think that if they have injuries, which is inevitable, every team has injuries, I don't think they have the depth to cover those injuries. And I just think that there's something lacking. I think that they might end up not being in a place where they want to compete this year or where they're able to compete. And so then they end up selling. And the biggest trade chip that they have is Shohei Ohtani. You take Shohei Ohtani off of this team and you're losing like 10 wins. I'm sorry, but obviously his WAR does not cover 10 wins, but you think of the impact that actually has on the organization and the vibe and the culture of the team. That's going to hurt. I feel like it's difficult to see him staying here the whole year. And so for that reason, I am going to slam the under. And let's see what Isaac said. Isaac took the under as well. And I'm sure that, I've had discussions with him about Shohei and the Angels, and he kind of echoes my sentiments. So I kind of think that we're pretty much on the same page for the Angels there. So I guess maybe I should have, we should have had them higher in this ranking. But I think that, like I said, this tier is too unpredictable. As long as we get them into the right tiers, they're definitely interchangeable and there's movement within the tiers for how good they can be. All right. This is the final team in the D tier that we are going to cover. And they are the team that I am wearing on my jersey. Jersey, I should say. It's not an actual jersey. It's the Baltimore Orioles. If you're wondering, Jacob, you're a Jays fan. Why the hell are you wearing an American League East rival on your shirt? Well, it's Adam Jones on the back. I'm a big Adam Jones fan. So that's why I'm wearing a Baltimore Orioles jersey. Jersey. Sorry. Don't want to flex if it's not actually a jersey. All right. The rotation we're working with for the Baltimore Orioles. John Means. Kyle Gibson, who is a new ad. Cole Irvin, a new ad, came from the Oakland Athletics. Then you got Dean Kramer, will be joining Team Israel for the WBC. He's a young guy. He can maybe take a step forward. Had a decent year last year. And then you got Kyle Bradish as your five. I like John Means. He missed last season, I believe, with Tommy John. So we'll see how he does. Kyle Gibson is just kind of a guy. He can get some innings for you. And Cole Irvin has had some success, kind of like him, especially with the way they've constructed their ballpark to help their lefty pitchers that they have. I think that, that really, really deep left field wall can do Cole Irvin some favors this season. In the bullpen, you've got Felix Bautista, who is scary. He's a really big dude. He throws hard. He's got good stuff. He's their closer. Then you got Tate and Michael Givens. They lost, who the hell was it? The guy that went to the Twins. Oh, Jorge Lopez. They lost him in a trade last year. But, I think that they're probably going to figure out their bullpen. Now, you move to their offense / defense / lineup / position players. You got some guys. You got some interesting fellas here. You got Adley Rutschman. Obviously, everyone knows the hype surrounding him. Switch hitting catcher, had a pretty decent offensive season. He's people compare him to being the next Buster Posey type, a real leader behind the dish for the team. Have loved what I've seen from him so far. Might have him in a keeper league for fantasy. Might be keeping him. We'll see. At first base, you got Ryan Mountcastle. Second base, new acquisition, Adam Frazier. Like that for them. Think he's a good add. I think he fits this funky Baltimore Orioles team nicely. Then you got Jorge Mateo at shortstop. He'll give you some good defense. He'll steal you some bases. We kind of saw what he is last year. A guy that we didn't see last year, really, see what he could potentially be. Big prospect, Gunnar Henderson. He's probably going to be the starting third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles this year. It'll be interesting to see his progression, see how much he can help this team. Then in the outfield, you got Cedric Mullins, you got Austin Hayes, and you got Kyle Stowers. At DH, you got Anthony Santander, and then they have a bit of a utility guy in Ramon Urias. So, yeah, that's your Baltimore Orioles, and they're a fun team. We saw what they did last year. Last year, they won 83 games. They were supposed to be a basement dweller, like significant basement dweller. Like, no one had any expectations for the Baltimore Orioles, and then they won 83 games. For a while, we thought they might even make the playoffs. They might steal a wild card. Obviously, that didn't end up happening, but still a fun season for the Orioles and Orioles fans because of the overperformance of their previous expectations. I think now we might have to kind of take a step back and say, okay, were they overperforming a little bit last year? Probably. But do they have some young prospects that can come up and make a big difference for them? Have they helped their rotation? Yes and yes, I would say. So they're a very tricky team to judge. I think they're kind of a low floor, high ceiling team, just like most of these middle tiers seem to be. Seems to be a common trend. The over-under is set at 76.5. I'm going to take the over. I think 76.5 is a little bit low. I think that, will they win 83 games like they did last year? I think not. I think they're probably high 70s to very, very low 80s, 81, 82. I don't think they get back to that 83, but again, they could. So I'm going to take the over. I think they're over 76.5. But again, they do kind of have a bit of a low floor because just with young guys like this, you don't really know what you're going to get all the time. So yeah, I'm taking the over. And Isaac is also taking the over. So that does it for our D tier. And yeah, that does it for our first recording of these big three tiers. We'll be back. We're going to talk to you about the C, B, A tiers next up. That is the top 15 teams in baseball. We're going to see how they project and give our over-unders. We're going to go through the rosters a little bit. And that's it. Thank you for joining us. It's been another episode of Diamond Gems. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Go baseball.